interrupting the current neo-colonial cricketism. Yeah, we're still underneath that, right? And if you don't think so, you better pay attention. It's going to stay there forever. They said endlessly. Interrupting that current neo-colonial monkeypox cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 480. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I had 50 more tabs to talk about today, and I don't even know how to figure it all out. In fact, I'm maybe thinking of, I'll ask you now, any suggestions on where I need to go from here on how to describe the world and then to put it in context and to kind of give us a forward view to anticipate things. I'd appreciate maybe hearing about that, because there is just, the world is now split for me. I don't know if I should talk about, because it's the carnival mirror that United States reflects the United States, to talk about some of Europe or the United States that's just not moving correctly in the people, and then the internal cancer is overwhelming most everybody, it seems, and maybe everybody. I don't know which direction to show. I didn't dump them. I have 50 more tabs I could talk about. I put them on another window to talk about them maybe next week. Maybe. And it all interrelates somehow. It all shows what's going on. It all anticipates what we should be doing. But, like, you know, we're coming into a time when everyone, folks, do you feel independence yet? No, but we find out in Europe, in the EU, underneath that governance, farmers are using manure cannons because they've been told, due to climate change, they can't use their farms no more. If you don't think this, these lunatics are global and are serious about starving you out, interfering with private property, interfering with production. You hear me talk about production all the time. Before I move off too far, thank you, Veronica. I saw you last week, I think it was, or Duke week before. I find everyone later. Thank you for commenting on the SoundMinds YouTube and anybody else that's commenting there. Glad to see you're all still around, or most of you at least are there and interested. With all this internet interconnectivity, I'm not too connected. And you hear me tell you why most of the time, but again, just showing us we have to really find an independent, a non-dependent, I guess you'd say. Thank you, Solomon. I hope you're still around and doing well. I'm moving through something that's not going to be part of this system that's on us. But we have to figure out how, well, where we are within this oppression, because it is not stopping. The manure cannons are firing over there in the United, in the EU governance regions. In the West, we have the right to bear arms, the right to alter and abolish a government, and we've been watching for probably over 150 years the destruction of all that. So I'm getting to the point, I don't even know what to talk about anymore. I'm sure those of you that are well-read and studied, you know exactly what I'm saying. You know maybe most all what I'm saying. I am noticing, though, that there's a lot that's being missed by a lot of people, and that's still crippling us as a people. But no, we got governments looking off the world. I'm going to move into, we all came here as aliens to a land because of oppression. I don't know how we rationalize it's not worse than it was when they decided to, what was it, a few percent tax, they threw tea into the ocean. We look around at what's going on with us. They've locked us all down, and we think that's being free. Remember, being free is not a spectator sport. And I've been asking people to get behind the woodshed, get behind in their own authority what was written there to constrain this these oppressors, and start coming from there so you have a basis. That's all I've been asking and showing you and explaining how that can be in myriad ways. I'm not the decider of how you do that, or if you do it in your particular instance. But I'm suggesting even stronger with the memorialization that's coming up, where it looks like more people are interested in barbecuing hot dogs and hamburgers and throwing down a brew than what is going on to maybe keep that from them or keep them from them forever. Moving into, we all came as aliens. The governments looked off from this planet to find aliens, and I'm not quite sure why China does it, but China detects possible extraterrestrial civilizations, state media reports, as I paused heavily on the possible. Again, always the hesitation. But I want to point out a couple things, even in this story. Looking for extraterrestrial civilizations, which they change in the story to alien. And so look at the world today, and look at the political dynamics and what's being used. But why China is looking for others when they have too many to deal with, I don't know. But their 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope, or the FAST, in the Pingtang, in southwestern China's Guizhou, I guess, is now in the news, hunting and finding, apparently, possibly, signals from space that they're attributing to extraterrestrial civilizations from outside Earth. And I'm interested in this in part, except all my life I've been looking at problems. I've talked a little bit about the limit of our equipment, of our testing, of our sensors. I've talked a lot about this over the years. And I'm excited about finding other things out there. But why is China even considering it when they're having trouble taking care of their own people? They're afraid of half of their people. They could care less if half of them disappeared in actuality, politically. And yet they're looking out. We always look for the greener grass, I suppose. But what's interesting in this story, as I read through it, they say, according to the report, the state media report, electromagnetic waves are the most suitable carrier or messenger for extraterrestrial communication. Regardless of wind or rain, the waves can penetrate the Earth's atmosphere regardless of weather, and I found this fascinating. They parenthesize wave, the waves. And that just opened up the whole problem to me. We're going on to the next paragraph to explain. Pengo researchers at the National Astronomical Observatory said that the signals are likely alien civilizations, but they are currently unable to identify the source of the signals. Sounds a bit like Rona, doesn't it? Nevertheless, interesting technology, what we do and what we think we're doing. This becomes my perpetual problem anymore, what we think we're doing. The science is a question and looking to seek what we don't know, but the methods we seek may be a question too. And we don't necessarily look quite so far. You're watching in this story the same, what they're doing in Rona or any of these other promotions. The research of the team said that the possibility of the signal just being interference is very high. Well, that was the big caveat. Signal for interference, very high. And we move on to someone in the University of California, Berkeley, who is involved with SETI, S-E-T-I, researching. They're saying that he believes the signals they detected were not from aliens, but actually from Earth. And this brings up a whole other setup and a whole other thought about what our tools actually see. And I'd like to refer you to Dr. Robitaille, who will, and Sky Scholar on YouTube, and go look for his YouTube about the Haroni antenna and listen very carefully on how that antenna is actually made, how it's, what it does, what it's shielded from, and that with regard to looking for signals in space attached to about anything, like trying to find the Big Bang or dark matter, there is literally only one telescope that's been proven to be able to not listen to Earth. And when it listened, it didn't find anything. And Dr. Robitaille will tell you that these signals were monopoles that are created. Remember I said highlighted the parentheses? They highlighted the parentheses in the word, the term, the waves? Yeah, the ocean, the water on this Earth is very interesting in its physical characteristics. It's known to emit microwave radiation. And so, I think the SETI researcher was trying to stab back at the promotion and protecting their own turf. But the problem is, I don't know that we've been able to prove that all signals aren't coming either from Earth or misinterpreted defects in the sensors. And I've offered, and I can't remember now, I'm losing my memory on the memory hole stuff here, the horn used that was used to find the signals in space had very problematic characteristics, which would have answered to the fact of the noise. signals that they don't knock out that the system itself that they're using, the tool itself, is creating. Anyway, I wanted to point on this because I don't know why governments are looking out to capture aliens, seek them out. I guess they're going to go capture them. But I found that this, an alien species on top of it, they say near the end, but I found that interesting to me somehow, and I don't know how it affected you. But we have the nations have an alien invasion problem, it seems, that we're told. And in some regard we do, but that's by policy. And again, the hand of man, not the hand of God, is working in all of these things. And this is what I'm having trouble with in the recent Supreme Court decisions. I don't even know if I can really talk about them. There's just so much deception in the things that we shouldn't have been a question, that are conditioning our future, that I don't think people are appreciating. But here we have that the Supreme Court came out a couple weeks ago, and I'm getting to this here late. Again, there's just so much to talk about. Now, detained immigrants can be held indefinitely, Supreme Court rules. Federal immigration law allows the government to keep migrants locked up indefinitely while awaiting deportation hearings. But the Constitution may enable them to argue, at least individually, for release on bond after 6 months, the Supreme Court ruled Monday. It's way back in the beginning or the middle of last June. And I want you to remember that you're foreign to the United States government and the district. You've been determined to be enemy combatants, and you can be indefinitely detained too. That this should concern you as we move on to this exciting weekend and how much we're celebrating how free we are as a people, at least in the United States of America. It's finally coming out that most of the world is not. And I'm waiting for the penny to drop for the people of the United States of America to find out you weren't either. Like I said, the Supreme Court's dropping pearls that no one's seeing right into their discussions as they talk about originalism. And yet inside it, you read they're not. Anyway. Federal immigration allows government to keep migrants locked up indefinitely. Is not a question. We didn't need to hear the Supreme Court tell us. But I want to remind you that you are an enemy combatant under the current so-called law. Where'd you get that? Oh, read the Patriot, the P-A-T-I-R-O-T Act, folks, and read the amendments, and read what they did with the, more importantly, or as importantly, the money appropriations for what they're using it all for. And understand here, as a migrant looking for respite, looking for safe harbor in the United States, you have to post a bond. You're in bondage just to get the question, can you stay here? So we're seeking, governments seek to exclude aliens as China's looking to go, I guess, conquer them in the space. While the United States also wants to grab onto an alien, abuse him, threaten him, drag him into the country. As I've said before, when they made the Patriot Act, and then some of us don't have ID, which is actually going through your motor vehicle code and is commerce, I don't care how you slice this one, but they wouldn't let anybody in the federal courts without the state ID if you didn't understand the connection that's stated right in these new originalist cases that make the connection in bondage and servitudes, that you can't walk in the front door without an ID. But they'll drag you in the back door of those courts without one. Is this problem that we're already living? That we talk about aliens and the government wants to keep some out on one hand and wants to grab one on the other, who also is in exercising a First Amendment press right. And you start to understand we're not living in the world that we thought we lived in. Those all y'all that fought for the independence in this country over the years, if you're not paying attention to know that you're not living in the world you fought for, maybe even what you fought for is not what you fought for, I'm sorry to tell you. You need to go look a lot closer. We're going to need your help real soon, I think. Or there's no help at all to do what is put on us as people. The duty to stop and alter and abolish maladministration in a government. And I don't like talking about where this is going to go today, but I've been advocating that we learn better so we make our records better so that we give ourselves a foundation. But it apparently there's already a poll that's going to trump what I want to do. No, not that ex-president dude. Almost like a gambling casino with cards going to trump you. No, it's going to interfere with our abilities. That they want to keep these migrants indefinitely detained. Yet over there in the UK, the other direction, UK government approves extradition of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, which happened weeks ago. I have not been able to get these. These are very important, very important. I should be getting to them, but again, I have a priority that I have in my head that starts to I work through to bring these stories. I'm almost embarrassed to say talk about this late, but there's so much more that I think I've been talking about that was important to us now, for us. I'd still get to it now. The British government on June 17th approved the extradition of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to the U.S., where he is wanted on charges of espionage. And again, this is the Bar Association. These are the attorneys contorting and twisting and falsely charging, in my estimation. And the things I'm also saying is to try and prove out to people for themselves. It's not an opinion that you're dealing with oppressors that have invaded your judiciary and other places, but allowed also by the judiciary as they divide all these countries up and put them under servitudes that are not proper, and they have their ways to work around what should be not touched. In other words, when it says shall not infringe the Second Amendment, and they infringe. They give safe space to tyranny in places that need to be secure in the government. You also know you're occupied. And no one wants to point this out to themselves and realize we got a much deeper problem going on. Now, when you start looking with those eyes, you start seeing there's another story being told to us. It's not really a narrative like we hear today. It is the truth working out right in front of you, but silently, covertly in your face. But the British government has approved an extradition of someone that was supposed to be presumed innocent. Someone that has been acknowledged to be in journalism. Someone who was really a whistleblower. And we got another maybe case coming on about that. The Supreme Court is going to either support whistleblowing or not. And again, the contortion of how they get to where they go is really fascinating. It's troubling, but it's still fascinating. Watching the accident, you can't close your eyes. But Julian Assange is now, he's an alien. He's from another country, in another country, doing stuff through another country. It's another country than those. And he is now being drug over to the United States to be put in a place. Their prisons are known to be inhumane. With a government that's known to not be the bright, shining light and beacon that we all are going to celebrate in a little bit here with our beans, weenies, and burgers and brew. Well, did I just make that one up? Assange to appeal against the extradition to include a reported assassination plot. Again, I don't even know why I have to read the rest of the story on the title if the title is fairly accurate. This is not a system of justice. There's no check and balance unless there needs to be. And there's a double pressure on that. Whether the government inside needs to have it or the natives get too restless is the only check and balance. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's brother said on Friday that Assange's legal team's appeal to the London High Court of the decision to extradite him to the United States would include new information not previously taken to the courts, including claims made in the report last year of plans to assassinate him. Now, that story by the CIA plan to assassinate him went through quite a while ago, like I said, last year. They're bringing that out. I wanted you to notice here, they said, new information not previously taken to the courts is a standard they must meet when they do this type of an appeal. It's the kind of things I'm telling you, learn the rules of the road, and so you can prepare cases or your cause, even administratively, to set up these avoidances, if you will. These are proper delays. When you're looking at an oppressor and someone who is not really giving the law correctly, not interpreting it correctly, incorrectly, or mistreating the law, the principles and all, you have to start bringing in more things to try to give yourself time to make a better record to expose those. because the so-called justice system is another war tool. The civil war is what they've done in the civil courts to remove the war from the field, the battlefield, and still have it maintained in the courts. And so you have to look at the rules of engagement, I suppose, is what I'm saying. And that's why we talk about records and making them and making, anticipating that you should, if you have, and you can, and justify it, having new, so-called new information. Don't necessarily put all your cards on the table, that this is a provision to be one more so-called due process step that allows Julian Assange to be holed up, mistreated, abused in a UK prison. I understand it's, what do they call that, the isolation. So he's suffering what we all did and will, well, most of you, under what they did underneath the color of Arona. No one checked that. But this is the due process behind them written in the first paragraph that the so-called attorneys, the lawyers, whatever, are moving forward now. And so this is news to us, notice of what's going on. The United States government's willing to abuse people, willing to yank the aliens they want in to make an example of, and also indefinitely detain those they don't want in. And you know, start noticing these are all also political maneuverings. This is not law and justice or any of this stuff we thought. We see the brutality of government anymore and the acceptance of the brutality of government. And I'm still questioning those people that are on the world stage, those journalists that are on the world stage that have not stepped up to do their private witness of injustice filings against the people that are doing these decisions to help. Shows me that we're a world of people that are not understanding, not of any capacity to defend ourselves in the system that's grown up around us, that some people would say is adequate. And we hear, again, inside the United States, what they're doing out there, the carnival mirror that we watch. What the United States does to people and aliens outside the country is what they've done or doing to you inside the country. And we see little glimmers of hope, but we don't see the idea that we're presumed innocent, that we have a remedy in the first instance, and that we don't have a lot of grief to go through that same occupier system, whether that's through the courts or through the pre-trial arbitrations that you set up in negotiation. You're not free from having to do it on the presumption the government moves correctly and rightly. One of the biggest gripes I have about the mining law and mineral entrymen, uncommon mineral entrymen, we don't have the peace that Congress intended to us. No, we have to suffer the slings and arrows, the bullets, the threats of the agents of government under a presumption of a lawful authority, a sovereignty, to do what they're doing, and they have none. And we see we want to celebrate so-called Independence Day. I'm going to ask, were we? Look, if the Bar Association, and it is the extension of the Crown Courts, notwithstanding they want to keep telling us they separated, even though they keep referencing back over the pond for all the historic referencing. When we were supposed to keep separate, why do they keep putting on the old English standard of servitude and tenancies? That we're supposed to be independent of this. That the Inns of Courts members extended themselves to the bar associations and now are here and we haven't thrown them out. That make decisions and allow that we have to do what this next thing, we've suffered. The cops doing their thing as a presumption of right. We have all the apologists saying, oh, don't fight. And you shouldn't. I mean, you'd be dead if you do. I'll tell you that. So this is it's a pragmatic discussion, but it's not right that we even have to face these kinds of things. And this, what happens in this next case is used as the only remedy, not as a second remedy. That first of all, the police and the state are not to be in our business and in our face unless they literally can show the warrant, like three steps back. And then if there's a true accident, then you have a remedy for there. Not saying, oh, they don't, not going to care. In fact, they're going to attack you, and your only remedy is to get the cash. Isn't justice what we live under today, where a SWAT team blew up an innocent woman's house and gave her the $50,000 bill for doing so. But the good news, she fought them and won. To me, is not justice. What she won was a money. Instead of paying the $50,000 bill for them to come out and do that to her, she was awarded, the city became liable, which is a taxpayer now. The whole community now becomes liable for this dereliction, and was awarded $59,656.59 in damages. Now, that's not funny, because you understand how much accounting you have to be doing. You have to take all the bills when you did this. 59 cents was even given to her to cover those damages. What were the damages? Was it damages to her peace and settlement and the presumption of her innocence? No, that's irreparable harm that will never, ever see the light of day. Well, unless it's pressed forward and they can find a court to give it to her. They claim this is the case marks a sea change in the law. Well, no, it doesn't. The law never allowed for this. What this is stopping and beginning to stop the malfeasance that we've allowed. But it's only in money, which is not justice to my mind. There's no justice here. You have to fight for the police who have, if they're not quartering their army, they have amassed armies under color of the cops. They operate, as Lieberkot tells us, we know them when we see them, they operate under military structure, and we call them serving the public. That it's today a sea change in the law that she gets paid. Is not being independent of the king. Neither is where we hear a police state madness. Man given traffic ticket for not having a seatbelt on his dog. In the land of the free, if the law enforcement witnesses you driving your personally owned vehicle with dark window tint and without your seatbelt on, they will pull you over and issue a citation, otherwise known as extortion. If you refuse to acknowledge this extortion or attempt to resist it, you will be kidnapped and caged. If you refuse to get kidnapped and caged, you can and will be have violence brought upon you and can and will be killed. Comply or die. While there is no shortage of videos of people being killed over seatbelt violations or even dogs being killed by cops, we've never seen an incident in which someone has given a ticket for their dog not wearing a seatbelt. It is a problem in this country. And I think, I don't know why, but I thought about my dog Rex. Thank you for being a supporter of the broadcast and interested in the interactions. Is that your dog? That's what I thought. Sitting next to you. It's funny how you connect up these stories. Could be anybody. Could be anybody you know being confronted by this. It happened in Washington, Louisiana. And the gentleman's going to say he's fight Eric Champagne. They pronounce his name a little different. I don't remember it, but he expresses anger over the incident. But this is where we've come in this condition where we think we're independent of the tyranny of the past. And we're not really saying anything. And I applaud Eric Champagne for saying he's going to not give them a dime, but it's not going to be so easy. And he wasn't free of the oppression, was he? And that's just on the surface, because you know, I was even talking last week, the imposition of motor vehicle code is the imposition of commerce law, which by the Constitution, as an originalist review, even through the encumbrance and taint they put on it. Should I give you the year 1868 to show you where we are here? Oh, the reconstruction of the place? Yeah, they mention it in those breaking laws now that are supposed to be originalist. The commerce is the exclusive jurisdiction of the Congress. Commerce, by the Supreme Court misinterpretation, it even includes intrastate commerce. And therefore, your motor vehicle codes are actually the authority of Congress for commerce. That a dog is not even part of that. Not in this case, for sure. Not being hauled around. Should not even be part of this. We shouldn't even be reading this story, but we are. So think about that while you're choking down your brew after you're trying to swallow past the big giant hot dog you ate or the hamburger. This is not funny. This is not being free. This is not lawful administration of the law or justice. And this man is going to have to put up with, he's talking brave, he's talking tough. It may be obvious, so obvious he's not, he may be, have a, the stars lined up just right, and it may go smooth for him. It didn't go smooth for the lady that had her house blown up. She had to go through the whole process and keep all the receipts to finally press them for the $59,000 it cost her and all the other intangible, priceless things that she should have never, ever had been affected by in the government. The government was never, in my mind, and look what I'm looking and studying, except for the reconstruction, never supposed to impose itself in the ways that we've allowed it as a people. And that brought up a thought about when do we put our foot down? And this next story became a question as to where we continue to allow the government, those that are in maladministration, from saying that the people don't have a right by mischaracterizing it or reframing what they're doing. And I'm not going to get into it because I think the whole thing's ludicrous. The January 6th story is one of these issues where we see today, and now this becomes now a pattern, that Arizona abortion protests, police released tear gas, lawmakers held hostage, they say, in a Senate building. Where do we go when that redress of grievance that's been given to the people of Arizona to alter or abolish their government against those same lawmakers, when are they considered, the lawmakers considered to be the criminals in maladministration and not hostages to a people that are exercising their right? And I'm not saying I agree with what the people did there. Like, I'm not agreeing with a lot of things people do. Like I said, I don't think that we're capable at this point. There's a whole other thing to have to think about here. I'll never get to it on this broadcast. I can already tell. I'm never going to get to it on this broadcast. I'll never meet people that we want to get to talk with it. People are not going to do that. We have a lot, really, to work through. It's not quite so simple. An abortion, a protest. Law enforcement officers in Phoenix, Arizona, used tear gas to break up a sizable group of protesters. Protesters, when are you going to be the people altering and abolishing your government? Now, I don't expect that coming out of the media, but where were you, like the Declaration of Independence, got into a war, made their declaration, and then finished it, finished the job? Not on spacious ideas, on actual rational discussions of the harm, the irreparable harm being caused by those that were never offered power, authority to do that by the people. Law enforcement officers in Phoenix used tear gas to break up a sizable group of protesters outside the state Senate building following U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn the landmark abortion ruling Roe versus Wade. When is this so-called protest convert for us? As we watch the destruction of a nation that had every opportunity to not allow it, when do we convert these protesters? And I'm not saying January 6th was even close. That was a joke. That was an embarrassment. On both sides, I'm going to say. This is likely the same embarrassment. But when are we going to get our head out, and when are we going to start organizing up our minds a lot clearer that we aren't have a focus? We can't take our belief system and impose it on all the people There's a rule, the state is set up to where it can handle all the people in their various integrations and interactions, controversies between them. When do we go from protester, as defined by the media, and the government oppressor itself, to the people moving to alter or abolish as they see fit? Again, I'm not saying that these people had that right. I'm saying look in the news to see you're out of position if we start to move into what this next story talks about and why we're likely going to possibly go there, despite what I've been doing for 10 years. Quarter of the voters, and I found this story to be super, super serious, that they even asked the question. I guess it needs to be asked. But the response is chilling a bit. But quarter of voters say that they may soon have to take up arms against the government, the poll says. I didn't do the analysis on the poll, didn't do anything. I don't know who they even checked up. Let's look at the numbers, though, just to take the pulse of what's going on in this country. I was a little bit surprised the number was this high. I'm encouraged a bit, but it's not the direction I'd like us to go. But I'm encouraged. I don't know how many of these people that would say this on a poll would actually do what they said. And I don't know how they're going to get together to do it. But it's interesting and encouraging that where we heard in history, 3-5% is what it takes to alter things, to bring them back to something, and it's usually not quite as good sometimes. It's a respite for a few 6 months or so. That the poll that was put just days before Independence Day shows that 28% of voters hold such a belief, including 1 in 3 Republicans and roughly 1 in 3 Independents and 1 in 5 Democrats, that at some point, soon, citizens are willing to take up arms against the government. Now, I can hear a lot of people saying, hooray, great, let's do it. And part of me says, okay, that's right, we need to, this is done. I mean, I don't know what more to say. I've been saying this stuff for years, trying to get us to avoid it, get us on record so we can at least get the pulse of each one. You have 28% of the electorate. This is the voters now. This is not all the people. But 28% are willing to go to take up arms against the government. And you look at the voters of this country, and they, if I get this correct, there's 168 million of you. 28% is like a 4 million man or woman army. I think we got this. But that's chilling, isn't it? Have you given up to just say that there's no remedy, that we just say that's the way to go? And if, I'm wondering, if we have 4 million people that would take, that's just the voters now, that would take up arms. 28%. Where have those 28% been before now to register that complaint? To say to government, here's my list of grievances, here's my right of redress, handle it. Handle it, and if you can't and you don't have any ideas, handle it this way, or we're going to have to take our action that we have rightfully to do for your maladministration. My problem here is everyone, at some point, citizens are going to take up arms against the government. It's non-directed. A majority of Americans, this report goes on to say, also said that the government is corrupt and rigged against everyday people like me, including 2/3 of the Republicans and Independents, and about 1/2 of the Democrats. In other words, you have a whole bunch of people there that are not on board. However, 2/3 and 1/2 of everyone, is quite a number of people that we're watching as a population admission. We have seen the corruption and the rigged system. And my history comes through people who've seen this. It's not that we haven't seen this. I get some comments sometimes, well, you're not the only one that sees. I get that. That's not what I'm talking about. And I guess, you know, stop taking it too personal. I've come through a time since the 90s where people saw this too. And they started doing all the wrong things and they did the wrong things. And even when they got close to doing the wrong things, the system, the government set up to take you out. Partly, I mean, echoes Vine in his statement that the things that I was saying at the time he was engaging with the government over these protests that are going on, like the Bundys, he used as guidance to make sure he was safe. He could still get close enough to witness, but he didn't take the wrong step to be brought into the servitude and indefinite detention of your life. That helped, that was a great help to hear, because I have to moderate what I'm saying and provide not just, oh, take your distance, but still be close enough to be the witness, to be participating, because that's what we're going to ultimately have to do, because being free is not a spectator sport. That we're now seeing, it's now a poll that their people, the voter, nonetheless, I mean, and that's not everybody again. You got to remember this, there's not everybody votes. Now, behind the woodshed, the guy behind the woodshed does not vote. Behind this woodshed does not vote. He understands the problem. He removed himself from voting years and years and years ago and made a statement about that. And all of a sudden, things got separate. And how do you understand that? Go read the signature where you signed your name on your voter registration card and start understanding what the words are saying relative to jurisdiction and what you claim you are. What you're claiming that you are, that's a subject underneath all this tyranny and the after the Reconstruction that's talked about in these so-called originalist Supreme Court papers. I'm chilled a bit. I'm a bit horrified. 28% of you already want to go to the guns, to arms. I don't know how I'm split on this. But I wrote a long time ago in an article that I referenced that Nikki Verapana found on her own. I didn't, like as I told you. And I said this vociferous expression of the Second Amendment was going to be made by people that are drunk on this thought more than the substance of it. And that's a very dangerous condition to have a bunch of drunk people using arms. Almost giving license for those that are in the power, that you're the oppressor, to justify what they're doing. And it's part, that writing of 19, I think I finished it in 1999, that got published in a paper, a publication. Hey, I guess I'm published. Well, never thought about it that way. It is what I'm looking at today. It chills me a bit. I'm encouraged. People, more importantly, that people see the corruption and the rigging. Disappointed and dismayed. No response to it when that was our requirement. If you want to be a non-dependent people, truly the Declaration of Independence, if you look at it, that it was stating we're different. And we're different in these ways because of these oppressions. And we're going to continue now because the Declaration starts, 8 months later? The Declaration comes out 8 months after the hostilities begin. You declare why you're there. Why, I thought, I don't remember his name, excuse me, the vagabond dude, his little statement of what we need to start doing. Do I embrace the guy? Totally? I don't know. No, don't hear him. I got a little bit dismissed about that, even mentioning the guy's name, because, oh, he's one of those guys, he's a shill. I don't even know the guy. But that one sentiment was a preparatory to what we're seeing. But it is, it's just a restatement of what happened in history. And I think, to my mind, when I think, I see that lots of people are thinking in those regards, they've written down their list of harms. And not just spacious ones. I mean, really understand as well as the founding fathers the principles that they're doing, and you apply those today. And if you don't quite get it, then that's one of our problems. Get it. Don't waste time. But 28% of the voters think that the system's corrupt and rigged and are going to go to arms is the first tilt of the hat to the power, but to my mind, moves too quickly. I guess I'm advocating a bit here. Understand, we're there. There's people, 4 million people, over 4 million people, and there's more. that could come to bear, but they're not now already, and they haven't been, is a problem. And what you're going to see executed out is what happened in January 6th, how it got perturbed, how they do any with this thing in Arizona, whether or not I agree with it at all, and how that the point is, you're deemed to be the terrorist. You're deemed to be the protester that has no right. You're deemed to be those subject people that are not free, essentially. And that's my concern. And to lend a little bit of support, the attorney, I love the lawyer I love to hate, and I don't know the gentleman. I just see that he has the power of the knowledge of the law, he has the insights, and yet he falls short of actually giving more suggestion, maybe even giving me guidance, because some of the stuff I just don't know. I have to go through and do a lot of hard study to figure out how things work. Notwithstanding all the decades of looking at this thing and working it and having to get in and rolling up my sleeves and going to hand-to-hand combat with these criminals in official places. We all have something to contribute. I think this guy could, but most of the time it just irritates me that he doesn't follow through with, okay, we see this, now what? John Whitehead, what now? You know the law. What do we do? What's the remedy for this? And he now brings up another article, which I think he does start to help us on. And not partly because it's what I've been suggesting. And so we're seeing more and more people see. We're having to lay out what the oppression is. I think that's required. Historically, that's required. We just don't go half-cocked on our emotions because the next guy also got torqued. That your belief that some court has made a decision that's contrary to your whole life structure is your view is the only view. Needs to be put down a bit. Your egos need to be brought down, and we need to look at the totality of what goes on in governments historically, where we are relative to that eventuality. We're there again. The destruction of a nation and nations. In fact, occupiers inside the system for years and years and decades. A reconstruction, no less, that happened way longer than that. That's being used. All the system of that is being used. No one even sees, it seems. No one talks about it, actually. We stay in our partisan ideas, our partisan belief systems, and don't look at the consequence of being putting some blinders on. However, and this is, I thought, a good exercise as well for those that may have a contrary decision. Oh, why'd you refer to this guy? He's a shill, whatever. You know, I really don't care about all those titles. If someone puts out something that we can use, and it's something that's not necessarily being stated, but it is something we need to do or think about, as I see it, I'm going to mention it. Declare your independence from tyranny, America, states John and Nisha Whitehead. And this was important, I thought, when I read it, where he goes and he begins to show, he explains the condition that we're in, and then he goes and explains a list, if you didn't have one, of all the grievances that you could list for you, if they applied. He recites refers to the Declaration of Independence, as I have. He explains the condition. He explains how in some regard, this Declaration of Independence constructs the condition so it's clear to everybody, which is, again, making the record. And he explains and points out some of the power of the words. And I suspect that's to build up for what he's saying, to explain to us again, remind us, the document you can go read right now if you want to, how this thing was working, that we've been here before, that 28% of the people, of the voters, are seeing the system is corrupt, is way beyond the 3% that moved, that went right to guns, didn't use the First Amendment, I suppose, as I'm suggesting we should do now, because of how this is set up right now, how they were set up against us, and went to throw off tyranny and oppression. eventually stating their cause. That he offers a list of those things. And I'm not saying that I even agree with a statement, any one in particular, or how it's stated, but I think it's important that we start to settle down, bring this thing serious, start looking at what maybe someone is writing here, to start thinking, are these the things that are important to me? And if not, what are important to me? And is this enough to move and act now? Whether or not we're going to be the 28% that would work through the Second Amendment first. See, I don't have a discussion on that. I just have a preference that I think spiritually, politically, morally, we are better positioned to do things, as I'm suggesting, before we have to go to the ultimate answer, that I'm encouraged to see 28%, at least by mouth and poll, would say they would jump in and help. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't see this integration in the world. But that part's still encouraging. Anyway, I wanted to offer this with John and Nisha Whitehead present. They go through and they make a list. Like I said, it's what he is stating. I'm not saying I disagree with some of it. I'm just saying I'm wondering if there's not other things that we would put first or better. I guess that's on how we perceive what's going on. And I can tell you, I know my perception is different, and it's likely different than a lot of the attorneys. When I can tell you that no attorney in the whole country hit Rona the way it was supposed to. Lots of attorneys are embracing one side or the other of these Supreme Court decisions without acknowledging the defects inside that support themselves based on, if you will, I'll just go to the Reconstruction as one of them. That's mentioned in one of the things. I'm getting confused now. I've read so much this week. I'm confused between the cases. And then others. And I'm going to bring, maybe we'll get to one here at the very end where I'm going to show you a quick thing. And it talks directly against the one of the pillars of the invasion pillars of the UN, Agenda 21, in one of the agencies. It's a knock to them. There's that whole thing sitting there as well. The allowing of that. The other, and as I say that, and the delay it takes to get to the so-called originalists' view. How abhorrent is it that the New York law for guns existed for 100 or so years is my problem. Is my problem. My problem with the system and my problem with people. And I guess I'll stop here. John Whitehead has been a bit of a inspiration in a way in the writing to expose the problems. And I'm just saying, yeah, okay, that's it. Now, John, even Nisha, his wife, I guess it's his wife, I don't know. What do we do about it? What's the suggestion on what to do about it? We can talk and hear and watch the corruption forever, and then it's just going to continue. What do we do about it? I've offered, based even on the name of the broadcast, get behind the woodshed. Bring these miscreants behind the woodshed. Teach them their lessons. Let them go. Let them get corrected. Maybe before we have to stand behind the woodshed and discharge something else. But that's my druther. That's my preference. Doesn't mean we stand around and wait either, though. So here we have. Declare the independence. Understand why you're there. We have a body of people, over 4 million people in the country, voters only, that have voiced that they're willing and able, they're ready. Soon now, folks, listen to this. If this is true, poll is not fabricated, people are ready soon to do this. It's about terrifying to me when I look around and I see what happened, even like through Rona. I'm not so sure the knee-jerk reaction when you've allowed all that stuff to yourself is really a mentality that we want to bring forward into the next potential. Can I say it that way without getting too militant? And again, I'm not afraid of that. It's that I think we need to be of a better mind. I'm not seeing the evidence of it yet. Supreme Court throws out New York's concealed weapons law. Here's what it means for California. It was just an article I found. Don't want to get into this too deep. I think lots of people can make the analysis. I have lots of thoughts on a lot of this. I see the media focusing our attention on certain things. And I see I'm looking at the response of the governments based in this. But this is back to the law that was allowed to stand. I think this is the one that for 100 years, that essentially states that you do have these Second Amendment rights. And they cannot be conditioned. This is the big deal here. You can't put a use infringement upon it without being a violation. That's the biggest statement that I could probably see in this without getting too deep. Again, I've read a lot of case law this week, and my mind is really kind of mush on some of it. But 28% of the voters are willing to take arms. The Supreme Court just said, all your controls, you're concealed, not all of them. This is the other problem. Your condition on the right to carry arms in public was the big deal here, too, is unlawful. New York, California, and like three or four other states that have these kinds of conditions. You have 28% of the voters have now been told they have the right to bear arms, and they're willing to go against the government. I don't think they understand what that is, but we'll see. We'll see. I can't get people to write a letter to the officials having the duty and government's this abstraction that people think are going to take arms against is not a good condition in my mind to start with. But the Supreme Court, the United States of America, threw out that New York concealed weapons law. It, though, and this is the problem, it, though, puts up, they call reasonable, restrictions. Now, I don't know about you, but it says thou shalt not infringe. I don't know about you, but when the government goes bad, I don't know how a status of any of the people of any kind of idea has no right to defend itself against a rogue government with the right to bear arms and the right to alter and abolish. That there would be any safe space for the tyrant, which is extended by the Supreme Court. The other problem is, as I was critical of Heller was about your right inside. And I said, see, if this court was doing anything, they would just go ahead and determine the law of the Second Amendment, state it, if we had to wait even to Heller, and they would say you have a right to bear arms, period. Period. They didn't. And I said, this is evidence at the time. I said, this is evidence of the Supreme Court not doing justice, not actually upholding the law. They're doing their lawyerly, as David Tullis would say, gazoozling. And that is a word. Actually, in a court case. They do their lawyerly gazoozling to infringe upon something that shall not be infringed. They give safe spaces to tyranny. And I hear lots of people saying, this is great. Well, in a way, yeah, it's really good to have the law finally declared 100 years late. But was it really declared is my problem. And I'm not going to go through the big, deep analysis because I don't know if it really has an end. The failures are terrible in these things. And we are taking a compromise in agreeing to any of this stuff. The claim of Justice Clarence Thomas, he held, as the court did, at a 6-3 majority, that the New York's law on concealed weapons licenses, violated the Second and 14th Amendments by requiring people to show a special need for self-protection. The other thing, well, I didn't think I was going to talk about it. I'm not going to really talk about it anymore too much. The other thing that they don't talk about, the 14th Amendment was the imposition against the states. That's where your civil rights become. That's where freed people were brought back in and put into servitude, as the white citizen was in a servitude. Where do I get that? 42 U.S.C. 1981. I haven't said that for months and months, maybe a year. Title 42. United States Code, Section 1981. Read it very, very, very carefully. Understand what your equal rights are. Remember at the very end it says exactions of every kind, and it prohibits non-government in C for non-governmental organizations from interfering with those exactions of every kind in the future, which is your life right now, not being able to remove yourself from the extortion that Matt Agarus was talking about with the dog in a seatbelt. Does anybody pull this stuff together quickly like this, folks? I hope you are. I hope you are, because this is the kind of mentality we need to be aware. We had to be aware of what it is we're up against. They throw the 14th Amendment on the states, servitude to the states, and the states are infringing. Isn't a place of free people. And yet we rejoice because the Supreme Court did that much, don't we? I just don't know how deluded that makes us. It doesn't set well with me, as good as it is. It's not originalist to go from the 14th Amendment. And those of you that have done the study on the 14th Amendment, and it can get hairy, and boy, we have lots of ideas about it, will know that's likely not a good thing. And yet, you realize, without it, we'd be some really messed up people if the states had the power, the absolute power to do what we've been able to use the federal courts to soften a bit. Why? Because the people are ignorant of what really is supposed to happen. And I can't tell you when I read stuff that I even understand sometimes a principle. Sometimes it's so convoluted what we've forgotten and ignorant of, the way it gets applied, you start thinking, well, that's not quite right either. But you start, as you dig deeper, you realize the ignorance was saying, we are so removed from our understanding how quickly the law limits the government. Well, like you hear in the court case that I think I'll get to, where the agencies have now gone way beyond, with no question up until now. One case, finally one guy gets it through. That these people never had the authority. My original comment, well, if they don't have the authority, then why are they acting that way repeatedly? Where is the courts to stop them? And if the courts are not, are they relevant to what we need as people? Hence, the very pragmatic, the very direct, honest view that I see corruption, I have arms, I'm going to use it to protect myself. You don't, but, and I'm not advocating it right now, but you don't, but there it is. You see it, you're willing just go do what they did in the Revolutionary War. Good example. But they had to develop a purpose, and they had to develop the mutual aid condition, and they had to develop that they'd be there to pull that off. And what I noticed in the past, if I do the experience, I see when I see the Oath Keepers, and two things I know they were involved in. I notwithstanding all the official, the organization that they bring, the military that they bring, that they bring a core of people that can do something. When I see the lack of awareness about what they're doing, it's scary. While I admire it, it's not something I can rely on. And I have a private experience within a mining association, not the district, this happened before, where one of the heads of the Oath Keepers came to sit down to complain that the association needed to do certain things for the miners. And this guy from the Oath Keepers, who was supposed to be one of the guys that was the sayer, not the top one, didn't understand the mining law whatsoever, was trying to dictate to a bunch of miners their own law and their own rights, didn't understand the crime that was going against them, didn't understand have an awareness of the dynamic of the mining condition. In fact, though, they were not wrong to support a miner. What they were not wrong but incorrect in was that they could use that organization to dictate what Congress said was different in order to ameliorate, make peace with an agency and a government that has no authority. And so while I admire people and I have total respect for veterans that thought they were doing something and did stuff, when we find out we're a deceived people, I have had to take a step back and say, wow, we have things to fix. That we've waited 100 years for New York to get their law outlawed, and now it infringes on California. And the question is not about that, but how does it impact California? Why? Because those criminals over there in that country, they go to task to work the loopholes They don't adhere to the law. They're trying to figure out how to continue the agenda to keep the gun out of your hand. And they did that because the Supreme Court didn't step up like they didn't in Heller to say, no, you have a private right in your house and a public right outside. There's no question. And that cannot be infringed. And we'll lay down another thing, that if anybody governmental official that infringes, it's immediately actionable. And then tell you how. Because this is a system of notice, as I keep telling you. You have to get it in the record that there's something that of regard that has to be recognized. So we now see, coming from the New York case, we now see, well, how does that impact California? And we'll see how that does. This is about concealed carry. They said that was unconstitutional. But they didn't give you the right just to carry concealed. No, you still have to ask permission, you free people. Because there's reasonable impositions. And my point and problem on all that is, what about your presumption of innocence where I have to have a moral character test? What happened to that? Where you have no record as the state, why would I put that in? If I did file an application, why would I put any evidence in there? Oh, but then I hear they get to go after your social accounts. When was that in the Second Amendment? So we have some real problems, and we're being focused outside of what those problems might be, the inherent problems within an originalist Supreme Court decision striking down any of this stuff, but only so far. The question is, what about the impact on California? What was California's reaction? They immediately said they're going to try to find loopholes to this. You have a right. Shall not infringe. We're going to try and find ways to infringe upon that. But what does the Justice Department do? If you don't think that the Bar Association, you don't think that the officers of the state, and I know my listeners likely do, don't think they're corrupt, California's Justice Department leaks names, ages, and addresses of gun owners. Personal information, including names and addresses of concealed carry permits holders in California, was exposed in a data breach of the state's Justice Department. Authorities have confirmed. To stop here. You can read the story where it happened in Fresno County and all this other stuff. I would use this as the maladministration of the government to keep a secret that I don't have to tell you on top of it because you cannot be trusted. Oh, you don't have my confidence that you can't be trusted are part and parcel to governing the governed. You take that away. I'm not saying you do that until you research this subject matter and get ready for the long haul. Those of you in California, or any of these places, actually ought to go after those permits. I would say throw monkey wrenches in those. Don't confess anything that they can release against you and stand on your presumption of innocence and show them, require that they produce the evidence that you're not. Require the evidence that you don't give them anything, that require, but that they produce the evidence that you are the class that they're afraid of. Why? Because the Supreme Court didn't really do us any good. They just stated the obvious. And we think it's the greatest thing since sliced white bread, as privileged, white privilege as that bread was, and refrigeration. And I'm dismayed. Well, we'll take what we can get. Wait, they just stole something from you. And moving into, again, so California responds by releasing all the gun owners' names. That puts anybody at risk. They can't be trusted. They can't be trusted to follow the law. They can't be trusted not to put people at risk. They can't be trusted, more importantly, remember, this is not about just self-defense. This is about stopping tyranny in government and altering and abolishing governments that don't toe the line of the law that they're supposed to. That's what the Second Amendment is about. I'll ask you to find that statement in any of the decisions regarding the Second Amendment. Where is that purpose? And if you're not hearing it, you're hearing the omission and fraud of what covers for their ability to put these so-called reasonable restrictions on something that shall not be infringed. And I guess I'm saying these things and thinking, this is what we need to think about this way and communicate back this way. To push back even where the Supreme Court won't. So, California's response, what's the impact on California? Well, they just released all your names. And this is what you find more and more when you start giving applications to the government, especially in the digital future. They're permanent records that people can hack or be released or whatever, and that's not a security to you. That also shows you they don't care about your security. They understand only about the government being secure. The public security. The government security. Why I've told you have to have laws now in every aspect to control the government. We heard last week, a city is saying we're reducing the interaction in traffic cases relative to the people and the cops. Now we're going to reduce killing. It wasn't the guns that was killed, it's the cops that kill. Well, Chicago comes out with we have a story from Chicago. The Chicago police are no longer allowed to chase people just for running away. Chicago police officers will no longer be allowed to chase people on foot simply because they run away or give chase over minor offenses. The department said Tuesday, more than a year after two foot pursuits ended with officers fatally shooting a 13-year-old boy and a 22-year-old man. I'll say that 22-year-old man likely wasn't actually that grown up. Legally, he had capacity. But I remember being 22. I knew a lot. I was really physically fit, but that's about the extent of my awareness in the world. I really wasn't the capacity I needed to be, though the system said I was. Why? Well, probably for the ability to exploit me. No, we are subject to being shot. Even though that 13-year-old boy is not able to have a gun that the United States Constitution doesn't preclude to him. If you don't think that young people were fighting at 13 back when. The new policy here, it's not even law now, folks. I told you this a long time ago. You're going to have to come in and get the officials to make policy to shut this down. And here it is, confirming what I told you. The new policy adheres closely to the draft policy put in place after those shootings and gives the department something it has never had. Never had this stuff before, folks. Permanent rules about when officers can and can't engage in an activity. All right? Each activity now is delineated. An activity that can endanger themselves, those they're chasing, and bystanders. Why? Because they can't be trusted. They don't talk about it that way, but this is what I was telling you is happening. You have to have, in this case, they call it the pursuit policy, the new foot pursuit policy. I told you this was coming down, but if you want to start to be more protected, it's not your Second Amendment. This place has gone out of whack. You'd be just as powerful to go ahead and start jumping in and requiring that these policies be put in place. Start with this one. Here it is. We don't want that to happen here, even if it's not happening. We don't want it to happen. Innocent people, minor offenders, don't deserve the death penalty. The cops don't need to be put at risk. I mean, they're doing that in lots of places. They're releasing people anyway. In fact, I think I just read that's what they're doing. If it's a minor thing, you're going to go in and out of the jail. It doesn't matter. You're going to be released. And that's the new UN policy on top of it. And I'm not saying it's good or bad because the system has abused the release system. You should have and used to be able to be released on your own recognizance anyway. Why? Because you had capacity, you were presumed innocent, your word was your bond, and that was good enough. Not anymore. And when nobody noticed that change, we're going to suffer more. And that's what's been going on here as well. As we extend a lot more than I talk about, just right there, you see, there's a whole thing that's been going on underneath the skin of the country that we didn't even know in play that ends up being, it's the boil that blows out that we now have to fix. Now we're down to policy. You have to tell your public servant, so-called, to not be a criminal. We have to tell them like little kids, you can't do this because ultimately it can result in someone's death and they don't deserve that. stop enforcing minor traffic offenses. They cause property damage and death. Not the guns, the cops. And so it's kind of funny. I really wish I was more of a comedian. You can start running, folks. Just run, run, run. All right? For minor offenses. Be very careful. You do a felony, they can shoot you right there. See? There's going to be a line. But the government's finding they have to give it up because they're now becoming more and more liable. Why? Because that one people like that lady who fought back and only got $59,000 for them to invade her peace and settlement and blow her house up under the cover and color of some law enforcement. Don't try to fly away, though, because you'll not find a flight. U.S. air travel descends into chaos amid flight cancellations. So in Chicago, while you have a minor offense, and I'm not advocating you run, actually you should engage and learn how to beat them at their own game so they leave you alone. That's what you actually should do. Don't make it so they can raise the level of the offense before you can't run. See, that's how they do that. It's another trick. So I shouldn't maybe be so laughing about the fact of what the trick is on that. Yeah, you can run until you can't, then you're dead again. They give you a few chances to run away. But don't try to get a flight. Don't flight that this way because of the chaos amid flight cancellations in what it seems to be a weekly occurrence. United States air travel was racked once more by tens of thousands of flight cancellations and delays as Americans become increasingly desperate financially thanks to President Joe Biden's record-breaking inflation. They now have to deal with the failing airline infrastructure that leads to extensive delays and cancellations. Here's the point. This is all self-inflicted wounds that Joe Biden did beyond. He didn't cause the inflation. The Fed's doing the inflation. The system of the monetary system's causing the inflation. So be careful. What Joe Biden did is he helped all this by continuing the Rona, continuing to impose a federal imposition where if we look at the originalist view, even as reconstructed, the federal government doesn't have this power to diminish you, to interfere with the normal flow of commerce. See, that's supposed to be under the guidance of Congress, isn't it? That if you try to have a flight now, our business, our economy is being interfered with. Whatever the reason, whether that's the continuing, lingering, endless disease, whether or not that's the Keystone and five other pipelines that are shut down in anticipation that all of a sudden we're going to blame Russia, something that we didn't use on the problems that we have today, on the chaos that's extended now where you are thinking you're getting somewhere and you can't, so now you have more money to spend in hotels and layovers and things like that. Where you try to plan something and it doesn't go to plan. Now, I'm not saying you go to the Second Amendment over this, but where are we to respond to keep the focus and the heat on those even in the system, in the Republican form, those representatives and their elected officials to stop making excuses for their dereliction? Start pressing more about that before we press a trigger. Get more people together on the mutual harm this is doing to everybody and continuing. And I say it that way regarding the plan. This didn't happen by accident. It happened as a consequence of our inaction from 2 years ago when they laid a fraud upon everybody, on the world, and now they've been slowly eating away at everything they needed to enforce the, if you call it the Great Reset, austerity. They call it prosperity. How's your Rona checks helping you today, folks? That's another thing I predicted and it's happening. Where did those go? Oh, no, they're going to continue to try and feed you something. They want to get you used to that government dole because that's basic income is checks or what they want to put you on. Even a monkey can get an EBT card now, apparently. So I found completely interesting the story about the U.S. travel is descending into chaos amid flight cancellations there's a whole thing behind this. At the same time, we're hearing about shortages and trucking problems and are reported about the fuel going up, and private owners are not able to continue shipping, and their parts for their trucks and the DEF chemical and the sensors are all failing, and the private owner cannot keep on the road. This story in transportation pops up. Can't get a flight, but we're going to ask to recruit new drivers. There's new efforts underway to recruit truck drivers. And I was thinking, this is pretty fascinating. We can't keep an airline industry that works like clockwork. I mean, it blows me away how many airplanes go. We can't do that. And we can't keep private owners running, but we can recruit truck drivers. This story out of Wichita, Kansas, Toto. In an industry that continues to be impacted by a lack of workers, folks, and is having a big impact on us all, now new efforts are underway to fill a nationwide truck driver shortage. It's estimated that 80,000 drivers are needed right away, but that number could go even higher. The shortage affects the goods you are able to get and the prices you pay. That's why the Workforce Centers of South Central Kansas aims to bring more people into the transportation industry. Seems like a setup, folks. This looks like where I'm hearing private operators having to shut, getting stranded on the highway because they don't have the gas or the parts to leave, or all the freight that's sitting, all the trucks that are sitting, the trailers that are just sitting because they don't have the proper connections or parts to fix them, stacking up. And then I see workforce, folks, remember, there's benchmarks made for higher workforce productivity that are the implementation of the new agenda that I've talked about for years, have been in the law for years. I told you, they move the benchmarks around. The education system is to produce for more workforce, higher workforce productivity. What that meant was these agenda people, these cancer in the system, transforming your society, were directing education to do the outcomes that they needed. That Workforce Centers of South Central Kansas spoke to me, if we destroy the private operator, the bread and butter, I would say, of trucking in some regard, then we monopolize that in central companies that are conducive to the sustainable way. My thought was, well, that's cool. They're looking for recruiting new drivers. What about all the old ones that are now having to park their trucks? No, they get you, the private operator, to go work for a big company that's sustainable. You'd have to park your truck or lose it because you can't afford it. And they pay you high enough. They say the jobs here are $70,000, over $100,000 if you know what you're doing, I suppose. They pay you well enough. You don't have the overburden of your truck. And they put you back into employment. Workforce productivity under sustainable governance seem to be a monopolization to the future, and potentially again fabricated shortages when they need to, all more controllable. My opinion, maybe it's not that way. I don't know the industry. I know quite a few people may listen to this broadcast or truckers, whether I know fully of all of it, that I don't think we should underestimate this little a promotion, new efforts underway to recruit truck drivers. Why wasn't there efforts to continue the private trucking? Why wasn't there efforts to keep the fuel going? Why didn't the government help in those regards? Why did they think that they can pull from the fuel reserve, the oil reserve of this country, which is actually supposed to be to the military in case of trouble and military problems, to give them something to put us more in a military defensive risk? Given we are Department of Defense, not the Department of War anymore. How did even an 11-cent drop, which we found out couldn't actually happen, how was that going to do better than focusing in on the infrastructure of the small private operator going down the tubes? But you see, efficiency, economy, says y'all need to be working for a sustainable company. We can control better. And they give you a pretty seemingly healthy wage to do that. But all this is under the auspices. Remember, all these fuel things these shortfalls were all for what? Because what? Climate change. Because they were not sustainable. Because they were a single chain and not parallel path to keep your economies going. And they broke the links that they planned and premeditated to break. And they now say we're going to recruit for drivers. For reasons and causes of environmental imposition that we just get now, a Supreme Court case, a lot quicker than 100 years, I guess I should say, to some help, the Supreme Court curbs climate action in a ruling in a case called West Virginia versus the EPA. And this is an interesting case, and I talk about this one instead of all the other cases that I could talk about, because this is the administrative side. This is one of the pillars. The EPA is a pillar of the UN goal, Agenda 21 goals, Agenda 2030, that sustainable thing, the green religion. They are one of the pillars in this country representing that. And the Supreme Court just came out and said, and you have to look very carefully at what it does, because I've given to you was from the liberal, if you will, the progressive side. And they're saying we can still use, it's what the best we could expect, but we can still use it. That they disregard the limitation that the Supreme Court just said that is on the EPA because of a failure of Congress to delegate the type of power that they extended and regulations which affect and affected economy, which is not within the delegation power that Congress extended to the EPA to do. If you didn't, again, look right in what they said. What the climate question touches is economy. And yet, underneath the authority for the environment, the Congress did not extend to the EPA that much power to be able to affect the economy. And I want you to really listen to how they are working this. This is not by no means the end-all, be-all. This is not the case I thought when I was hearing it promoted that it would curb agencies generally. It is what you're listening for is this delegation of power, when it's proper, when it's not, when a delegation of power is given, the limit on it. In other words, did you know when the EPA started to affect the economy that it was outlawed? It had no actual lawful power. And when you look at that, you go, oh, okay, that I need to be a mind that applies these limits on all this agency's thing. And I moved to that because my mind went immediately, it wasn't as good as I was expecting, but there are things within it that I turned around and applied. Can I apply, essentially the question, can I apply this to what I do with agencies? And I have a couple of glimpses I think I can. They're not necessarily in the EPA. But this case also doesn't make a statement of something I know rides inside of here that I think would have held, again, the Supreme Court would have done us a favor to show the limitation on the extension of the power that was unleashed to affect the commerce. Not only does the delegation of power have to be from Congress to do that, But their actions have to be that they don't extend out. One of the controlling mechanisms that they don't mention in that case was the National Environmental Policy Act, which I've read, I have to apply. We apply all the time. It's not applicable to people. It's only applicable in certain instances. Federal government on their actions, demonstrations, projects. You've heard me talk about this. But inside that, the Supreme Court didn't acknowledge what is stated. That these rules also have to balance against the needs of mankind. In one rule, it's contorted to say humankind. Right? That's an imposition by rule. It says in the code, mankind. The balance is in the need. In other words, man's needs are not second. And while this case does a bit of a favor explaining that what the EPA wasn't supposed to do, It extends the Congress the power to be able to do it in the future. It doesn't constrain it by the supplement, except that the acts that they did were supposed to be constrained by the supplemental guidance, which never put nature above man, man's needs. And there is a balance that can be made. And part of it is I get that, because what they've conflated here with climate change, again, that's political and economic change, not anything to do with the weather. But when you get to the environment, what they've conflated was pollution versus politics versus economy. And the pillar of the EPA came in and grabbed all that. And this case says the EPA cannot extend its effect beyond what has been given to it to do, which brought my mind up to say, well, that's NEPA. And you don't see that mentioned in this case. And because of that, what I found fascinating in looking at responses to this case, I found myself in a progressive liberal website, attorney website of some sort. And to watch what they say, look at how they're saying it works. But I have a link here to the CARE case, and you can read through it. You can look at what they're talking about. Most people won't. I don't know why. I know it's boring. I know it's dry. It might actually make you a drudge. No, not the news site. But at any rate, it'll give you some insight of what it is. And some of these environmental cases get truly convoluted. And so you got to, for me, I just keep track of certain things, looking for certain, like jurisdiction, delegations of authority, the principles. I'm looking for the principles applied. I'm looking for things that are not stated that I know are controlling, would be controlling in application. That takes a little bit to learn. But you can go through and analyze these so that when you hear officials, when you hear the people that are working local to you making certain statements, you can say, wait a minute, that's not a power extended to you. In fact, you have a duty to not go there. And then you know the duty to impose. And then we learn the remedies that may be available to immediately stop it, and don't let things like the gun law in New York go 100 years, which you won't be around for anyway, right? So I'll give you the link. For me, just give you that so you can get it quick for the court case. I don't think I found anywhere the NEPA mentioned. That would be a condition where the human needs, the needs of mankind over the humanistic view are to rule, are guidance. The NEPA is only supplemental, but is supplemental nonetheless. And it pertains only to certain things, not across the board. The delegation wasn't given by Congress for the EPA to go across the spectrum of society and interfere. So, great, we get to see that there's a limit. How you get to that limit is going to be you have to do some study. And I went to a website, end up just arbitrarily found a website with the title of an article, some quick reactions to West Virginia versus EPA from a website called Legal Planet. And this ends up being, and I didn't know this, while I'm reading in neutral, I don't read to try and prejudice anybody's position of anything, but I'm reading, and as I'm reading, I'm getting clues that something's not quite right. And it starts out reading fairly well. I don't know what side the gentleman is arguing that it's the best, he says, it's the best we can expect from the Supreme Court. I should have, since I'm not politically wound, I should have thought a little bit closer. I guess that's conservatively weighted. So that should have given me a clue of where this gentleman was talking. And I guess So this article, there's a couple of articles. This one that I'm actually referring to is another attorney's referencing the first attorney's response on this website. And this was some quick reactions to that, to his response. What I found interesting was these attorneys and their attitude about what they're pressing and what their presumptions are. The first attorney who's writing is talking about it's the best they can expect. They explain how the case went. You should read about it. It's a nice, concise enough. Understand it's going to be on the liberal side interpretation. But I found myself wanting to use the same cases, the same referencings, to help a county stop a dam removal, is where this starts to go. While they're saying that the environmentalists can use this, they kind of they got a little bit. It's the best we can expect as an environmentalist. They still say they can kind of use it, and then they reference another case, which I picked up on, which is where I get to the point where it says in the regulation of water quality, that's the case, the secondary case, shows that NEPA is regarded, and it's required to be regarded. But this response I wanted to point out was an attorney responding to a fellow attorney's on the website's response. And it stated here, first the bad, the court struck down an important and well-justified regulation aimed at limiting one of the most significant sources of climate pollution, existing power plants. All right, I'm not going to read the rest of this. I just want to point out these attorneys stuck in this environmental agenda have no balance in them, have no reality in them. Because it says the court struck down an important and well-justified regulation. Well, if the court struck it down and we give credit to the court that it explains that what's the law and what isn't, this attorney is not stating well and not dutiful to the law that was just stated by the court to say that that regulation that was struck down is well justified. And this is the environmental view. It's not amenable to change from focusing on taking out what existed before and replacing it with what they claim is well justified and sustainable. Existing power plant, well, the climate pollution, that's a whole problem. This is the whole focus. And EPA was not put in place to solve climate pollution. And the court come back through and said existing power plants can't be forced to do things that affect the economic function of them or the society. And this brought up some things with me because we have to deal with this as well. Tangentially, a cement company was being imposed by a state EPA, it's all essentially the same, but for having to put on filters, expensive, just monumentally expensive filters, that alone should have been beyond the pale to have to enforce, to the point where they were extracting air that was cleaner than the air around it, which is also a violation. And it was found, we found out, and we were able to push it back through up the chain and got this company, got the state authority, EPA authority off the back of this cement processor, that they had failed to measure the intake air of the system that they were measuring. And they were measuring the exhaust to find increased mercury levels in the air, in the atmosphere, that they attributed to the cement processor. When you studied took samples of the input air, it had high levels of mercury in the atmosphere naturally. That they were causing an economic hardship upon the processor, the producer of cement, to have to filter out. That's not their duty or obligation to filter out. And yet this EPA was willing, these people in the Environmental Protection Agency continuum, even to the state, were willing to cause economic harm upon a company, essentially almost killed that company to produce the basics of cement, which is a part of your modern life. It's these environmental attorneys that will, in the face of the court striking down a regulation, and I think in proper way because of the delegation of power problem, that's proper. That's jurisdiction and power of an authority. You act without that, you act without the law. They have found, and it seems correct to me, that there was no delegation to do that. The effect of what they did was not supposed to extend so far. That invalidates what they can do. That an attorney, a bar member, comes up and says, oh, that's a well-justified regulation, is our problem. Attributed to something called climate pollution is our problem. And I want to bring up some support for what I said about the NEPA being applicable in supplement. It's not the law. It's a supplement to other laws. That when there's a project plan or demonstration of the government or an authority or duty to do something within the that affects the environment, they have to go and use NEPA, which standard is to balance the natural environment with the needs of mankind. and the needs of mankind are not to suffer in one little bit. That in this case, referencing other cases on the website, this title, two FERC cases, FERC, we call it FERC, cases is why they matter, was again these environmentalists looking into a discussion, a decision that was made reviewing the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's decision in two cases, in a matter, actually Turlock Irrigation District versus FERC, where the court essentially gives FERC the go, affirms FERC, FERC's decisions relative to a very complicated and convoluted condition regarding dam certification and what the states are obligated to do, what they're trying to do, what they don't do, the game everybody plays around the requirements, which is about a waiver for certification. And if these dams don't get these waivers, they can't operate. Now, FERC is about energy, so there's also generators, and this got us into the Klamath region, Klamath Falls region, and those dams, because FERC is involved in that. And we have counties involved to show that FERC is only over the energy part of it and not the purpose of the dams to hold back water. Otherwise, it will cause a desertification of the Klamath area. The reason why those dams were put in was to stop the desertification in the Klamath Valley there up in the eastern Oregon. That this case shows, when you read its case paper, the decision, extending to FERC for the properness of its decision regarding this convoluted condition and going on relative to certification, that one of FERC's oppositions was, or the state's oppositions was, that FERC had not finished its NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act, study. And therefore, the state couldn't act. All I want to point out here on that is that NEPA, NEPA, we call NEPA, the supplemental law to standard to other laws, is required to be done, is silent, it's not spoken about when they talk about the EPA. That sits there to ride, that should have controlled the EPA. That my thought on that, just to extend it out, because of the Bar Association members and how they treat this and all the cancerous change agents in the system and how nature is now a person having rights, whether or not that's actually true and can be true, like we've met in the court cases that I've filed, we had to go up against these judges, the people that reference the professors that are all giving nature a upper hand. This is absolutely crucial to understand about the silence of the Supreme Court that would allow some more continuing of questions for the EPA to continue to press the foreign agenda against what people in the United States need. That the Turlock Irrigation District case explains that FERC, a federal organization, agency, is required underneath a federal duty to do an environmental study that is guided by the NEPA, that over where they talk about the EPA extending beyond the delegation, it would have controlled those decisions. Is this convoluted mess that they've been using within the bar system that they exploit in order to be able to do the destruction you're watching relative to water and production and everything, and even, they don't even need the bar, the EU is doing to cause the farmers, in the European Union, to use their manure cannons because they're stealing property and production from the people. At least they're going to the manure cannons. I'm not hearing much more than people clanking their utensils for the barbecue here in the States. Despite the horror going on, the destruction that's going on, the irrelevance of the lateness of the Supreme Court, the irrelevance that it seems to be, the harm it extends and causes, allows others to cause. Rona was really, I tell you, this is the definitive proof that no one responds to, of how irrelevant your governments have become, how harmful they are, how they will underwrite and promote each other into irreparably harming the people. There's no actual law to allow it. There's no standard or principle in the past, if you want to go originalist, to allow it. And where this idea that they could do this to you comes from without repercussion, I don't understand. How California can release those numbers that were their duty to keep, should have been a high duty to keep private, and they don't? You can tell they use it as a harm. And there's no repercussion of that is why we're watching this whole thing go through. Why the officials aren't actually naming the authorities that constrain them voluntarily is another problem. Why I say, you're not really presumed innocent. No, you get to be suffer the slings and arrows and bombs and flashbang grenades and bullets and 40 caliber or whatever, if you survive, to come back and go in their system, whatever, that's arbitration or through the courts, even so, and try to get money back. Like that. That solves our society. That makes it all right. I can feel myself getting a little perturbed on this. And I guess because I'm too private to it, I'm having to fight this all the time with people and for ourselves and helping minors and applying. Like I said, the delegation of authority has to be extended by Congress to the agencies. It's not a question. I don't even know why it has to be decided today, but it's not a question. Can I apply this standard to the Secretary of Interior? The IBLA supposed court that interferes and infringes upon minors. Can I do that? I think I can. In fact, the articles that I sent, I have people send in to defend themselves and making the record, have actually been stating the jurisdiction and power is lacking in the agencies to do that relative to the congressional grant that disposes the land to the claimant, the minor. Yeah, so I can fit right into this. You can too, I guess, is the point. It takes a little bit of reading. It's a little bit of a high bar to climb and jump. Maybe we'll do the Fosbury flop. Remember Dick Fosbury? Yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's try a new way to get over that bar that they've set and show that we can. And now, once we do, we're victorious that way. That because the harm is on the horizon. All these green religions want to talk about the future generations. And you've heard behind the witch, we've been talking serious stuff behind how that was going to attack when they say they're going to protect the future generations, they're actually attacking them. That I've been speaking to you, that the chemical weapon attack, these things that they put out, these juicing, ginning up of the population through a fraud of a communicable disease, was going to, by their own statements in the record, I don't need the Supreme Court to tell me, I don't need the expert to tell me that they were going to cause future harm. I've explained it to you before it even became a thing, and now we're seeing the record is coming out, as I told you. It would take some time, and I'm really sad to see this. But here's the truth. And I don't know what people are going to do, and it's not here in the United States to rile people up. If they're good, 28% of the people want to go to guns and arms, bare arms, are they going to roll it up for the sun to give you vitamin D? Is that how that's going to work? The post-vax wipeout of children's immune system has arrived. Okay, so what could be seen in the study, what could be seen in the patents, what could be seen in the science, if you will, the medical part of responses, even as half-baked as half of them are, we see what appears to be now developing in your future generations, folks, claiming they want to protect them. But no, this is all, it's like I told you, they're stalking horses for stakeholders to exploit. The post-vax wipeout of children's immune system, what, COVAIDs, folks? Just like we have talked prior. New South Wales, Australia, has seen a nearly tenfold increase in recent weeks of so-called pandemic babies who are having to be rushed to the hospital for intensive care treatment. Reports indicate that this little ones, do they even see little ones, see folks? Unless I'm making a joke and call them kids, you little goats. Little ones are developing a mysterious respiratory illness that requires critical medical intervention. The media is calling the disease respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. No, not RSVP, although we could have told you to do that when you got the juice. Every year, some 120,000 young children are said to die from RSV, And in New South Wales, rates of it exploded from just 355 cases per week just 3 weeks ago to 3,775 cases per week currently. I'll stop there. This is now being attributed to the juice weapon. Am I doing okay, Sound Minds? Better this week? I'm trying. That we now see your future generations suffering. What is an immune system defect that has a correlation to this juice? That they refer to a Daily Mail article, which was linked by Archive. You can read the title, Pandemic Babies with No Immunity Are Ending Up in Intensive Care Across Australia with Respiratory Illness. Again, what they claim to solve, they actually cause. This is just an earmark, a model, that an example of how you can see them coming. You know them when you see them, folks. And I don't know where our trust, but why we trust and why we have confidence in these folks anymore, and why we remain silent, even though we're apt, at least to a value of 28% of the voter population, to be ready to use our arms while it continues. Respiratory harm, exactly what they claimed that they were trying to keep you from. Remember the history about what they did to the elderly. I hadn't heard of the term pandemic babies, but then again, I'm not that close. This respiratory syncytial virus apparently exists, but now it's exploded. Just as we might predict, I've given you from the government of Australia a discussion about what respiratory syncytial virus is. You can read about it. I think you should. I guess even the states, wherever, you want to be listening for mothers and fathers who are maybe juiced up or got juiced up that don't understand what's going on to their little ones. Can't put it in place. You might just drop a seed. And thank you to the emailer we were talking about dropping seeds. Sometimes that's all we get to do. Be accurate, drop the seed, and hope it finds fertile ground. That this is a thing, not a joke, not a guess, not a conspiracy theory. It's all predictable. And then I want to also give you a discussion on the fact that they have been discussing this, that we see they're looking at, it's like the SMART, they're taking an analysis of the condition of the battlefield that they're waging against you, that they're creating. Respiratory syncytial virus vaccines, are we making progress? It's their discussion about they want to create another type of disease. They've caused this disease, now they want to try and tell you they're going to fix it again, like they try to do. And then there's a discussion, are we making progress? And you're going to find out that in some regard they aren't. But that they are, how they kind of keep this going on, and how they, this is also just another model, when you go down far enough, they acknowledge who is involved with this report, with who is going to really essentially be, their hands are always in it. I'll read the summary quickly. Over the past decade, there has been significant advances in our knowledge of RSV molecular and structural biology, and in understanding of the human response to RSV, and that you're going to read that they don't know a thing, actually. They're just claiming that they know stum. Their knowledge is advancing significantly. Well, if I only know one thing and I need to know 1,000, if I know 2 things, I've doubled my knowledge, haven't I? Doesn't mean I know anything. Here, keep reading here. Despite the barriers, there are several opportunities for RSV vaccine development to protect the most vulnerable populations. Does this sound familiar, folks? You know them when you see them. I can already tell my next sentence is coming up. I hope you can too. The increasing interest of academic, industry, and international bodies such as the World Health Organization or Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is helping to move the field forward, promoting the implementation of surveillance platforms and standardization of clinical definitions, assays, and surrogate markers of protection is where they're at with this, as they impose this on future generations. They've got their fingers in it. And I don't know about you, but the last list of things that they are got their fingers in promoting the implementation of surveillance platform standardization, the clinical definitions, assays, and surrogate markers of protection have all failed or been violative of people in many ways, all based in a fraud. And we talk about endless disease. I told you they're going to create disease. They try and tell you they're going to cure disease. There's the evidence of it. And we're now seeing little ones in Australia suffering terribly, 10 times the amount at this point, due to this imposition, again, of their mother and father. Oh, it's not supposed to affect your reproduction, they said. No, we can see that it was. This is not even a question. And to heighten the horror, we go to Australia. Well, no, we'll look everywhere around the world. Apparently now we're going to double down, triple down, quadruple boost down. COVID propaganda roundup, shots for tots. They finally came for the babies. Story from the Daily Bell. If you're into profiting off human misery, consider investing in manufacturers of toddler-sized mini coffins. This report starts out. Death and taxes. We go through. I won't read it to more. Just watch. People are paying attention now. This is what they call here the biomedical cult. We predicted, as this site is saying, we predicted successfully months ago that the children shots were on their way because the leftist social engineers have a fetish for pulling kids into their biomedical cult. I think we've been talking behind the woodshed a lot more than a couple months ago. And it goes on and talks about the heinous conditions that are going on relative to all kinds of gene therapies that are being put upon us, on your little ones, that are going to control them in the future when they're not proper, and we're allowing it, and it's predictable, and yet we continue to allow it. And if I hear 28% of the population is angry enough to go to arms, where have you been when you could have went pen to pencil, when you could have went lead to paper first? My continuing dismay as we see the propaganda going on for the program of shots for tots. New York City mayor says he will mandate COVID-19 vaccines for children this fall. Is your heads up on how to start this? As we also hear, the drug cartel, Biden administration agrees to pay Pfizer 56% more for their COVID shots. As we see the harm being blown up here, total disregard, total blindness, willingly and premeditatedly, I'd say, U.S. FDA to use existing Omicron booster data to review shots targeting new variants, subvariants, will allow no testing on the new variants at all, and their agreement, despite the fact that Fauci suffers much more worse COVID symptoms after Paxlovid rebound. There is no evidence that this stuff does anything but harm. And then the additional problem of the big tech banned claims vaccinated could spread COVID. Now the government admits it was hope, not science. For any of you that ever doubted what I was saying behind the woodshed regarding the presumption of an illness and that epidemiology is only statistics and not science, out of their words, out of their mouth. And I will end right there. Almost got to the end. I hope something I've said is a wake-up call. Be non-dependent, mutual. If you're going to be independent within the declaration, make one. Start working to make that so. Get with others that will help you. We're in some dire moments here. I hear the spirit, but I don't see the actual reflection. I hope something I said will help you to move along and forward and focus. And I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs or nature willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.